Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Ain't got no regrets. I ain't losing track of which way I'm going. I ain't gonna double back, no. Don't wanna misplay.
Oh man, I have to start this hour the way I most hate to ever have to start an hour, with a correction. Remember yesterday? No, not to you. Yesterday, at just about this time, it's actually a little bit, it's like 6:20. But because of transgressors, I can't really do it at the exact same time. In radio, a lot of times if you have to do a correction, you know, it's very hard to do corrections because the, you know, the people who were listening 5 minutes ago aren't listening now, and the people who will be listening in 5 minutes or next day or next week, like, and it's not the same people at 6:20 every day. It's just, you know, radio's weird. But here we go. I was talking about the UWF logos yesterday, remember? And I had given them a lot of love the other day for well-deserved love for the accomplishment of having a 92 on their Bog Metrics scores, which made them the number two university in the entire system. A great accomplishment, the result of a decade's worth of work. They used to be in the bottom three, and now they're the top two. Like, you know, better than UF, better than FSU. Like, it's amazing, quite frankly. I think USF is the only one that scored higher than we did. I was talking about the logo and how I don't hate the new logo, but I don't love it, and it feels like a loss because the new logo, you know, got rid of Argy the Argonaut and changed the kind of the light blue color to the dark blue color. It looks more like Seattle Seahawks colors now. And anyway, well, you know, as I always tell people to do, correct me when I'm wrong, the communications folks from UWF are like, "So, Andrew, I heard you talking about this." I'm like, "Oh, no. What did I do wrong?" Well, I got it sort of half right. And here's the half I got right. That is the new logo. The dark green and the dark blue is the new color scheme, the preferred color palette. And it is just the UWF letters with either University of West Florida below or to the side. But they did not ditch Argy. They're not ditching Argy. Argy is still in the athletic logos. So there's the institutional logo that is the UWF letters now. And it is the athletic logos with the helmet or with him holding the sword. They are looking at shifting the colors because they want the colors to be more uniform across the university. What that will mean for the one with the helmet, it's not quite clear to me, because the only way you can contrast the light blue helmet against the dark blue background of those logos is by having two different color blues. And anyway, we'll see what they do with that. But I was assured that they are not ditching Argy at all. And they are going to change on, but the thing that has changed, and that it didn't really bother me, but I know it does bother some graduates, is they have largely gotten rid of the Nautilus, the shell that has long been a symbol for UWF. They call it the evolving Nautilus. That's what it's called. But that's the, you know, the shell that's like half solid color and then half like dashed elements of the shell. They have replaced that with the new UWF lettering. So that has gone away. That has changed. Weirdly, I don't feel any particular attachment to that. Maybe I just haven't been here long enough to have the attachment to that, but even as a UWF parent, many people do. So to clarify, yes, new logo. They did not ditch Argy. They did not completely abandon, but in the iconography, they've gotten rid of the Nautilus shell. The presidential seal, which has the Nautilus shell on it, is also going to be updated. I'm told that it will include some element of the Nautilus shell in it, but that the overall color scheme, it's a color scheme in the new kind of lettering. So yeah, again, I hate to have said something that was wrong, and I gave you the impression that Argy was going away, but I had several graduates kind of reach out to me like, "Andrew, what did you see about this new logo? It's terrible." And I'm like, "Okay, so I'm sorry. I apologize. I got it at least half wrong." 6:14 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for something fun and sweet to eat today, Small Cakes Cupcake and Creamery is a fantastic place to go for slow, hand-churned, creamy, flavorful ice cream. I said all those lovely words. Butter cake, birthday cake, cookies and cream, salted caramel, blue monster cookie, chocoholic vanilla bean. I know, we all want ice cream now. That's the point. You know, ads work. For later, you can, you know, develop a little delayed gratification candy. Me too. I'm talking to me. Red velvet cupcakes, lemon drop, wedding cake, birthday cake, hot fudge sundae, pink vanilla. We had some the other day. Oh, They are as luscious as they sound. They do catering. They do weddings. They can do birthdays, whatever the case may be. SmallCakesCupcakery.com, freshly baked gourmet. Their slogan is, maybe a cupcake will help. I love that idea. They're next to Starbucks and Chick-fil-A, Bayou and 9th Avenue. And, yes, they are not open yet, but they will be open later today. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Shays Fashions, 3960 Navy Boulevard, going out of business blowout sale, men's, women's, children's, formals, and clothing. That's today and Saturday. Business for sale also. Again, that's Shays Fashion on Navy Boulevard. Watching a bad accident, it looks like, on the Bayway. It is backed up, as I understand. This is westbound, the Mobile Causeway, rather, westbound. So it's a horrible wreck, and it's backed up almost the whole way across the bridge. So caution there if you're heading in that direction. If you see anything else, let us know, 437-1620. I'm Candy with your traffic on the 5, and this History of the Blues is brought to you by Dan Stewart Law Firm.
In 1976, the Blue Angels were kept busy taking part in air shows across the country. America was in the midst of the year-long bicentennial celebration, and the Blue Angels were in great demand. June 15th of 76 was also the 30th anniversary of the very first performance of the Blue Angels. During the 76 season, the squadron flew 80 shows, including a huge 4th of July performance at NAS Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. The season ended on October 21st with their homecoming show on board NAS Pensacola. The following season began tragically with the loss of a plane and pilot during winter training at El Centro. Lieutenant Niall Kraft was flying in the number 6 jet when his plane went down. Because there wasn't enough time before the start of the season to select and train a new pilot, Lieutenant Vance Parker, who had flown in 74 and 75, returned to the Blue Angels for the remainder of the year. The Blue Angels passed a special milestone on October 8, 1977 in Atlanta, when they flew their 2,000th public demonstration. During the 1980 season, the Blue Angels performed their breathtaking air shows in 48 U.S. cities, plus Canada and Puerto Rico. It was after an April show in Puerto Rico that they added life-saving to their list of accomplishments. While en route to their home base in Pensacola, Fat Albert, the C-130 transport plane, heard a Mayday distress call come over the radio. A 10-seater civilian plane was far from shore and desperately low on fuel. Worse, they were lost and couldn't find any land on which to put down the plane. Though in contact with the Miami control tower, they were unable to get a radar position to guide them to safety. If they weren't found quickly, they would certainly crash at sea. So Fat Albert veered off course to search for the lost plane. Once the small craft was sighted, Fat Albert flew in close to escort her to a small island with an airstrip. The lost plane touched down with less than 3 minutes of fuel remaining in her tanks. Fat Albert, having saved the lives of all on board, flew home. I'll be back with more after this.
We're bold all day. We make it clear that every child is wanted.
Hi, folks. This is Bulldog attorney Dan Stewart. The Blue Angels inspire a culture of excellence. Abused or homeless children do not have a jury of their peers. Let's inspire a culture of excellence to protect our children.
We hold on down, we make it clear that every child is wanted here.
One of Pensacola's native sons flies with the Blue Angels. Then tragedy strikes. Next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Getting you up to date as you head to work.
Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Marysville High School outside of Sacramento, California, where we are sad to say the Board of Trustees of Marysville Joint Unified School District have decided to act like little children and push back against Governor Gavin Newsom and the 2024 California Racial Mascot Act. That beautiful piece of legislation explicitly prohibited any schools in the state from using, quote, any derogatory Native American term as a school or athletic team name, mascot, or nickname, end quote. As you probably know, and forgive me for having to say the term out loud, the Marysville Indians, I'm sorry, were the team name and mascot for nearly 100 years. Now, it is true that MHS has complied with the law and stopped using that horrible term and related iconography, but they did so kicking and screaming like petulant toddlers. They have announced that they will not be replacing the name and mascot with anything else, which means there will be an ongoing reminder by omission of what the team was called by not calling them anything. As you know, my young wokelings, it is absolutely crucial as a part of our cultural agenda that offensive names be replaced with ones that are acceptable, at least acceptable at the moment. Without a replacement, the lack of a team name and icon will only serve to remind fans and students of what has been canceled. Like nature, the human imagination hates a vacuum. Moreover, despite complying at the most superficial level, Marysville is actively pursuing an endorsement by any federally recognized Native American tribe so that they can return to using the Indian name and images. Assembly Bill 3074 did specifically allow for this, and they've been knocking on the door of every wigwam they could find for 2 years now with no takers. Now, obviously, we don't love the fact that any indigenous people would be allowed to degrade themselves by being mascotized by a California school under any circumstances. As always, it's our job to dictate to them what we think is offensive to them and to ban forms of cultural appropriation that offend us, not for them to decide whether they are being offended themselves. However, at least so far, none of them have consented to be degraded in this way. But how sad is it that the leaders of Marysville would be trying so hard to keep oppressing, objectifying, and demeaning any Native Americans just for the sick, twisted purpose of perpetuating white supremacy culture and treating those people as groups of mascots? We certainly wish the school would just voluntarily comply with the spirit of the law and adopt something pleasing and inoffensive to everyone by becoming, for example, the Marysville Flower Children, or the Marysville Water Lilies, or the Marysville Hemps, or the Marysville Pansies, or the Marysville Gentle Huggers, or even maybe the Marysville Little Rays of Sunshine. Why do all these sports identities have to be so fierce and aggressive? Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to highly commend Brazil for their wonderful work to preserve the government monopoly on education and to fight the forces of ignorance and religious anti-intellectualism. Last month, the Sao Paulo Criminal Court ruled against parents Audato and Aida Denardi and sentenced them to 50 days in prison. Their crime? Homeschooling their two daughters without using a state-approved curriculum. After withdrawing their daughters from public school in 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic, the Denardis began homeschooling their girls and discovered serious inadequacies in what they had been taught at school and subsequently saw their scores improving under home education. However, although the Denardis are both accomplished pianists and speak multiple languages, they also made the rash and wicked decision to not include instruction in, quote, gender and sex education, and also, quote, tolerance and diversity. Now, as you all know, this is a grievous moral sin, to deprive children of their key indoctrination in basic principles of wokeness. Being able to recognize ungrammatical conjugations and errors in long division is nice, but instantly knowing a statement is racist, sexist, ageist, or ableist is absolutely essential. As we always say, it's okay if they can't read and write, as long as they can spell LGBTQIA++ and DEI. You see, in Brazil, ever since 2019, homeschooling has been in a bit of legal limbo, because although the Supreme Court ruled that homeschooling was not in violation of the country's constitution, it also ordered the national legislature to regulate it, which they have not done. So the court was left with the fact that the Denardis did not use a government-approved curriculum, and they most certainly did not use one which was officially stamped rainbow-inclusive. Moreover, the judge appeared concerned about deprivation of the girls who expressed a preference for classical and religious music over the pop culture trap or sertanejo music, including an aversion for the sexually permissive lyrics it contains. When you add it all up, you can see why the judge convicted them of the crime of intellectual neglect and applied the prison sentence, even despite 3,000 pages of evidence that they had taught the girls every other academic subject and even over the recommendation by the prosecution that they be acquitted. There is still an appeal pending, and the parents have not yet been forced to serve the 50-day sentence, but we certainly hope they will be. And we hope the appellate courts will make an example of them so that all parents who have the audacity to think they can educate their own children according to the dictates of their own conscience or religion will learn their lesson. Perhaps eventually we can reestablish the same level of control over homeschooling here in the United States that we once had and better emulate the wisdom of our dear Brazilian otherin. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, I want to apologize to those of you who thought that my cancellation of the FIFA World Cup 2 weeks ago was hastily or inappropriately formed. Of course, you all understood the great evil of bringing fans here only for them to discover how much better America is than their home nations, including the political danger of seeing what liberty and free enterprise can produce in contrast with the bleak, gray democratic socialism so familiar to Europeans. But since that time, there have been other developments which certainly weigh heavily in favor of realizing the World Cup does have some redeeming wokeness left in it. First, the best news we could have imagined is the fact that the U.S. men's and women's national teams will be evenly splitting their prize winnings, assuming, of course, that the women qualify for the 2027 tournament. This new revenue sharing was decided a few years ago, but it means that the $16 million the men earned for their appearance in the round of 16 will pay each team $6 million, and the USA Soccer keeps its 20% or $3 million. For perspective, if the ratios from 2023 hold true next year, the women's round of 16 will only pay $2 million versus the men's $16 million. Even if the women's team manages to become champions, they will only get paid $5 or $6 million compared to the men's champions this year earning $51 million. Since it's unfair and sexist for the men to earn so much more, forcing the teams to split any earnings openly and evenly is a perfect example of socialism and gender equity in practice. FIFA may be sexist, but USA Soccer doesn't have to be. Gender equity go. Second, we were thrilled to see President, we never say his name, personally bully FIFA into letting Phalarim Balogun play for USA in the round of 16 despite having received a red card in the prior match. On the surface, we cherish the man from Mar-a-Lago behaving like a petty tyrant because it validates our never-ending series of No Kings protests. However, a more subtle point here is that FIFA bent the rules for the USA, and we love that, because it helps point out that FIFA bending the rules for us is a way of reinforcing that we do not believe in the rule of law, but in the law of rulers. Our preferred system of government always allows for wise, benevolent rulers of the people to act capriciously, since they're above the law, as has happened in every place that has fully embraced progressivism, or what we used to call communism. As we preach, you must accept that your leaders know more than you do and will make decisions you are too foolish to understand but simply must obey. Remember, we claim to resist authoritarianism even while we collectively use the mob and cancellation and bullying and reporting other people to force our ways on anyone who dares disagree with us. So when the rules get bent like Beckham, that's a good reminder that the rule makers are the ones who are smart enough to bend them. Third, we especially admire this year's inclusion of the mandatory hydration breaks 22 minutes into each half of play. This fits perfectly into our overarching agenda of making men believe that they are incapable of doing difficult things and treating them like they are children, or, better yet, women. Our entire program of gender anarchy is advanced every time we make men more effeminate and women more masculine. And what could be more effeminate than changing the entire operation of a sport's basic structure just so a few weakling participants can take a drink and feel refreshed? Declaring men to be too stupid to care for themselves physically and forcing them to take it easy because of the heat is a fantastic way to chip away at the toxic masculinity that tells men they should tough it out and push themselves to achieve and take real risks and not act like frail little wussies. When dad says rub some dirt on it and keep playing, he's teaching a boy to be a man. And when mom coddles that same boy and kisses his wound with gentle affection, she's teaching that boy to be a woman. Well, hooray for FIFA for kissing everybody's dehydrated boo-boos and gently smothering them into the curvy mold of modern feminism. The only way they might do a better job of it in 2028 is if they offer penalties for players being mean to each other and add an allotment for emotional injury timeouts. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
All right, we're super late to it, but Candy has traffic on the 30s.
Use caution wherever you are. The Bayway is backed up westbound, and that's at 437 1620. You see that accident or slow down this morning.
Take the causeway. It's a way to work around, or a Lillian or something, but don't get on I-10 westbound past Spanish Fort.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Prosecutors presenting evidence against alleged Charlie Kirk assassin Tyler Robinson yesterday in the form of video testimony from his former roommate Lance Twiggs, who said Robinson confessed multiple times.
I just asked him in person if what he said was true the night before, and he said it was. I started crying a little bit and said he wishes he hadn't done it.
The hearing is for a judge to determine if there's enough evidence to go to trial. Marine Corps veteran Victor Marks won the Republican primary for Colorado governor. He's going to go up against Democrat Phil Weiser.
You may not agree with me on everything, and that's okay. But I believe we can agree on this. Colorado is not the way our founding fathers envisioned it.
That video on X, Colorado has not elected a Republican as a governor in more than two decades. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 81 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning. Brooke Richardson will have our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. A 68-year-old Pensacola man has died after a crash yesterday in Santa Rosa County. That happened about noon in the 8100 block of Fish Camp Road in Milton. Troopers say the man was driving on Ward Basin Road and didn't stop at a dead end, drove into the Yellow River. The man died at the scene. No other details have been released. Well, Escambia County's Planning Board approved a big change in land use for the OLF 8 property in Beulah, shifting 540 acres toward more housing. One board member voted no.
I don't feel that this went through the proper process to get the input from the citizens to make that kind of change.
That is board member Jonathan Owens, who talked to Channel 3. He says the shift gives developers more flexibility than the original master plan allowed. County commissioners do still have to weigh in on that change. Well, demolition work is continuing at the Old Baptist Hospital campus in Pensacola. Officials say that drivers passing by may actually start to see some visible progress now. Crews are going to plan to bring the towers down section by section. They're also keeping the debris out of neighborhoods using water sprays and dust monitoring methods. All three towers should be down by September. The full site should be clear by next January. Well, the Florida Supreme Court's new knock-and-announce ruling has generated a lot of questions about how police serve search warrants. PPD's Mike Wood says Pensacola officers have nothing to change about how they operate. Wood says PPD has always done it right.
We're not doing that in the first place. It's very clear who we are and why we're there. There are marked police cars out front. There's loud banging on the door yelling, police, search warrant. So if that was something that we employed in the past, the no-knock or very light knock situation, then that would affect us, but it simply doesn't.
And the Florida Supreme Court ruled last week that evidence gathered during a search where officers failed to properly knock and announce can no longer be automatically suppressed. Instead, the officer who failed to follow proper procedure could face a misdemeanor criminal charge. Wood says for PPD, the ruling is a non-issue. Well, look for airfares to potentially start dropping this fall. A new low-cost budget airline is offering some deals.
Northwest Florida air travelers are getting lower-cost options this fall. Allegiant Air is adding 8 new nonstop routes at Destin-Fort Walton Beach Airport, stepping in after Spirit Airlines shut down. New service includes flights to New York City, Chicago, Las Vegas, Denver, Boston, and two Michigan cities, Flint and Grand Rapids, with fares starting at $59 one way. And if you want to get in on that $59 rate, those tickets are on sale. Oh, by the way, Allegiant Air does not have a presence at Pensacola International. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
And thank you, Chris. 6:35 at News Radio. Let's check in with Candy for a look at our traffic on the fives.
All right. Looks like the causeway in the Bayway actually just fine now. It's moving. It's slow, but a little bit better. We're not showing any problems as you're making your way over the bridge to Pensacola NAS. It was backed up to the Shell station, but now it's moving smoothly. And those are the only slowdowns I've seen so far. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 30% chance of rain today with temperatures warming up into the 90s, feeling more like the triple digits with that humidity. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 82. For Saturday, 30% chance of rain with mostly sunny skies mixed in, 92 degrees for your high. Saturday night, temperatures dropping to 81. Going into Sunday, 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Partly cloudy skies this morning and 82 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Federal Reserve Chairman Kevin Warsh has released names of the experts who will comprise five task forces to examine the institution's operations, a list that includes several prominent Wall Street names and business leaders. Warsh first disclosed his intention to create the task forces last month, saying they would tackle communications, data, and more. The International Energy Agency says world oil demand is set to decline by 1 million barrels per day year on year in 2026. The closure of the Strait of Hormuz wreaked havoc on Middle East exports, though supply is increasing again. The IEA's forecast rests on the assumption of a ceasefire and the gradual reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors monitored the latest developments in the Middle East after a U.S. official said it would continue to hold technical talks with Iran despite a flare-up in hostilities. The 10-year Treasury yield was relatively flat at 4.533%. Futures are mixed as chip stocks retreat. That's Your Money Now.
That'll be $84.52.
Perfect. Grab the bags, honey.
Mom, why do you always check your phone before we pay?
I'm just claiming my cash back on the Upside app. Since we're getting the groceries here and we filled up the car on the way, I've already earned enough this morning to pay for that pizza night we're having Friday.
Wait, so the app pays for pizza?
Not exactly, but the cash I earn on stuff we need helps us pay for the stuff we want. It's just a little win for our family every week.
Get more out of your everyday. Upside is the free app that gets you cash back on routine purchases like gas, groceries, and dining out at more than 100,000 locations nationwide. No points, no rebates, just cash back straight to your wallet. Download the free Upside app and use promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus on your first purchase. That's promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus. Remember, use promo code ACT5.
Offers vary by user and location at participating merchants. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Join Vinny Matassa and Helen Council from Kana O'Donovan Real Estate today at 9 a.m. on Pep Talk. Learn about today's real estate market. Find out what the best agents do for their clients. And you'll hear why Vinny says the market is not the same as it's been in recent years. On Pep Talk today at 9 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3. You know that feeling when a headline sounds big, but nobody explains what it actually means for your day? That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
He touched on this idea of the return of communism, and I know that you've talked about this too. Democrats are having to grapple with who's calling the shots in their party as these Democratic Socialist members are having great success. But Steve Bannon said some interesting things to Politico this week that neither Republicans nor Democrats really fully grasp what they're dealing with here. He says this: if you're playing the old politics of tax cuts and wars everywhere and doing the bidding of Israel, his words, let me be blunt, you're finished. I just keep telling people it's a flashing red light, and the Senate Majority Leader John Thunes of the world and House Speaker Mike Johnson better understand that the old politics are gone. Your response?
Well, Steve needs to see what we've been saying. I've been saying this for years and on the campaign trail for over a year and a half. And since Mamdani got elected in New York, I've been out on the campaign trail countrywide across coast to coast, every swing district, blue states, red states, saying the same thing. There are many Mamdanis popping up running for Congress around the country, and you better be very serious about this.
Yeah, they're not. He's not wrong. That's, of course, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Headline in the Christian Science Monitor, The Rise of Democratic Socialists and What It Means for Just Plain Democrats, talking about this with Zoran Mamdani's win, not only getting elected as the mayor of New York, but then last Tuesday, a week and a half ago, all three Democratic Socialist mayors' protégés in New York beat normal or normie Democrats in their House primaries. In two cases, respected incumbents, including the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, lost. The mainstream establishment Democrats are freaking out because they see their party being co-opted by kind of a far-left mirror image of the old Tea Party movement on the right, which then kind of weirdly morphed from being, you know, small government and, liberty-oriented into MAGA world, which is kind of where it is now. Jamie Harrison, former chair of the Democratic National Committee on X, said, "I say this with no ill will or animosity. If you hate the Democratic Party, then please don't run for our nomination. Focus on building the party you actually support." The problem is that, you know, and the Christian Science Monitor points this out, is that as a strategy, co-opting an existing power structure is a whole lot easier than starting a whole new one from scratch, especially when you're fighting against an institutionalized two-party system that has been dominant in American politics for, 170 years. So it's actually really hard. It's a whole lot easier to just co-opt and take over an existing one, like Trump took over the GOP and change it into his image. That's what the socialists and the communists are trying to do to the Democratic Party. Now, they've been around for a long time, but they are much more active these days, and that's certainly what they're trying to do, which is what Mike Johnson is kind of warning about.
This is a serious threat to our whole system of government. These are Marxists. It's communism, socialism. Those are deviations of Marxism. Begins with the opposite premise of America, and it is a serious threat to us. These people want to say, they're saying it out loud, they want to abolish all borders. They want to abolish all prisons. They want to defund the police. They want to abolish the U.S. Senate. They want to pack the Supreme Court. They want the government to take over control of all production. This is communism, and it has led to the murder of innocent people, tens of millions of them in the 20th century alone. We have to fight this. We're no longer just in an election cycle. We were saying it was common sense versus crazy. Now it's common sense versus communism, and everybody needs to wake up.
And I'm seeing this same thing. It's all of the rich-poor gap, the wealth resentment, the stupid 1%, all of that way of thinking is a springboard towards socialism or outright communism. And everywhere it's been tried, it fails for reasons. I mean, really important reasons that apparently people don't understand because they have misunderstanding about what money is, what it represents, how it works. They say stupid things like the wealthy owe back to society for all the benefit that they've gotten. No, literally we pay people because they did a benefit for us. What money represents is our obligation to them to give them value that they have not yet cashed in on. You know, that's it's exact opposite what money means.
Well, you talk about all the things that they're for, and the Democrats are having to have this internal fight over how much of this they're going to allow. They keep saying that they have a big tent. But do you think they internally understand what their party is facing?
I think quietly the Democrat establishment on Capitol Hill understands that, but they feel powerless to stop it because if they stand up and say this is wrong, the problem they have is the energy, the excitement, the money. The grassroots is on the side of the insurgent left. And this is a threat that we have never seen before in the elected system of our government. Ronald Reagan used to warn about communism. He talked about it, that it was a distant threat across the world. And now the barbarians are inside the gate. So this election cycle is for all the marbles, Shannon. This is not... this is not your father's Democrat Party. That party's long gone.
And I'll give you a couple other pieces of analysis here. One piece is that, frankly, I mean, I think even Trump supporters would have to acknowledge this. The Trump factor in facilitating an opposition should not be underestimated because he is so polarizing. Even if you believe in him and love him, he also has the ability to force the haters to the other side and make them more extreme in a result. And so he has helped facilitate the rise of the anti-Trump way far left because he has, again, taken over the GOP and reformed it in his image. And, you know, all dissenters will be punished and all people who love him will be rewarded. And so the modern GOP is just whatever Trump says it is. Even though people like me feel very uncomfortable in his version of the party, we're not in charge anymore. You know, we are a minority voice within the GOP, maybe a silent majority. I hope so. But certainly the, you know, as far as what's known. So that's a part of it. And also, a recognition that there's always been this idea that there were, you know, socialist communists inside the Democratic Party. I mean, of course, look at you go back to 68, you know, look at what was going on. And it's not a new thing, but they always knew they were the outsiders. You know, they were never in control. Well, with AOC and the Squad and Bernie Sanders, you know, you see more and more and more control. And one of the things that anti-socialists, you know, free market capitalists and conservatives have failed to do is continue to always make the case. I'll explain what I mean by that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And there's a few accidents that you do want to watch out for this morning, but it looks like everything's been moved off to the side, but certainly watch for emergency crews on scene. One is at Hyacinth Drive in Pensacola. It looks like a hit-and-run crash. Also, Independence Avenue. This is near Massachusetts and Highway 90 this morning. But it doesn't look like it's backing anything up. And then Olive and Boyd in Pensacola showing an accident, but no roadblock this morning. The Bayway is starting to clear up. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can text it in. This is brought to you by AutoZone. You can get in the zone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. I'm Candy with Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you've got a business, you've got employees, you've got to handle health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, payroll, all of the stuff that is important, but decidedly unfun. You know, it's not the reason you got into business. It's not what you do, whether you're in construction or manufacturing or you repair cars or you give legal advice. All the other stuff you have to do when a business succeeds is not very much fun, unless you're just the kind of people that like that sort of stuff, and that's what Taurus and Consulting is. They like that stuff. The stuff you hate, they like, and that's why it's a great arrangement to have them do it for you. They've been doing it for us here at News Radio and Cat Country for 5 years. Torgerson Consulting, Reed Torgerson. I just recently watched him give a great presentation of the Milton City Council. It would bore you to tears, but it was an excellent presentation on their health insurance benefits and, you know, why they overuse them and why that puts them at jeopardy of going what would seem like the lower price plan, but actually puts them at the risk of not being able to get back into the better plan later. Anyway, it was a very savvy analysis. And he offers that same level of analysis to any business or any entity that might, you know, need to use benefits. So have him come over and look at what you're doing and see if there's a better way to do it. For 25 years, Torgerson Consulting has been helping local businesses and entities manage their benefits. 433-9996 or check them out online at TC Benefits Group. com. All right, back to the question of the day. We're talking about the rise of communism and socialism in the left. I was talking about the Trump factor to polarize people and push them into a more extreme version of whatever, which, by the way, happens even within Republican Party. You know, people tend to be very polarized on him. They love him and can never see his flaws, or they hate him and can never see his virtues. I try to be pretty balanced on that. But he does the same thing outside the party, too. It's like, you know, they rally around hating him, and that is a rallying point. And so don't underestimate the value of that to create a coherent anti-Trump wing of the Democrat Party that doesn't just dislike him generally, but really facilitates some of the rise of the more extreme policies. But there's another part of this that this is a broad principle you have to understand about sort of all of life, but it just happens to be true in this case. It's a good illustration. It used to be the case that you could just say, well, they're a communist. And that was like, you know, a really serious insult or a really serious criticism. Or they're a socialist. And everybody just knew, well, that's evil. And they knew why, because we'd gone through the Cold War and we had seen, you know, people building walls to keep people in to enjoy the benefits of socialism. It's satire, right? You know, anytime you got to build barbed wire to make sure people can enjoy the benefits of the thing they're being forced to enjoy, it's not a good thing. So we saw that. We saw the fall of the Soviet Empire. You know, we saw the fall of the Iron Curtain. We saw, you know, capitalism won. Liberal democracy won. And then, I mean, that's for us Gen X kids, right? We grew up in the 80s, and we saw all of this happen. We saw the contrast, and we saw the long lines to wait to get into a store so that you could buy mystery meat of the day. And, you know, as opposed to in America where you can walk into any grocery store and buy any meat you want. You know, like all of the contrasts. Well, guess what? What you take so for granted from then is not what a 20-year-old today knows. They just did not grow up in the same time. They don't viscerally know or haven't been extraordinarily well taught how bad communism is, how terrible socialism is. To them, when you call it like a slur, a communist or a socialist, or when I do, they have no frame of reference for that. You know, they have friends who are socialists, and they seem like decent people. And they don't know anything about the Soviet Union, and they barely know anything about China, and they don't know about 100 million people killed by their own governments in the latter half of the 20th century. And they don't know about Cuba, not really. They only know what they've been lied to by Michael Moore about, that they have great health care. BS. You know, they don't know. So you have to explain it. You have to teach it a lot. You have to really show it. And this is true for everything. What happens in a culture is that an idea is originally kind of understood, a transformative idea is really understood by a few people, and they're passionate, and they learn it, and they explain it. And then over time, they're usually winning the argument because they're much more passionate, they're much more informed than the, you know, the status quo, which doesn't bother knowing how to defend itself anymore because it's taken for granted. And so that's how you have a social change. Well, eventually what happens is the sort of the revolutionaries, like, you know, free enterprise and escaping from monarchy was originally the revolution in 1776 and thereafter. Well, over time, you start to take it for granted. And you don't bother explaining why this system is good. Not really, because it's obviously so good. But when you stop taking it for granted, that means you stop teaching it. That means you don't really know it so well. So here come the revolutionaries. And they know socialism. And they know communism, and at least to a degree. And they know how to make the arguments. And they've been well propagandized to explain it. And they win the arguments. Because they've tried to win the arguments. They've played the game of winning the argument. You have to always be defending the thing that you believe in. You cannot just take it for granted that it will always survive on its own momentum and inertia, because it won't. You know, why do Christian parents often find their kids going off to school and becoming atheists? Well, in part, because they just know it to be true and they don't bother explaining it. And then the kids go off to school and they hear a bunch of smart people explain why Christianity's for idiots. Oh, that makes sense. Nah, I always thought my parents were idiots, too. You know, like, that's how it happens. So every culture has to know how to not just perpetuate, but to explain, to promote, to show movies and TV and literature that establish the idea. It takes an entire culture to keep something going. And that's why so many of us are worried about the future of America, because we just aren't doing that across the board. You know, the left is winning in a whole bunch of ways. And so, the ability to form ideas, the ability to make the argument, the ability to engage in these conversations, I know I try to do it on this show. I hope I do it fairly well. But that's part of why the left is winning. That's part of why the socialists and the communists are able to make as much headway as they are, is because the young voters 60% of them, actually the Democrat Party, 42% of Democrats have a favorable view of capitalism, only 42%. 66 view socialism positively. If you push that below 30 years old, I'm sure that number pops up to 80 or 90%. It just does. So you've got to always be talking. You cannot trust the vacuum to perpetuate a system of ideas. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like I said the causeway is starting to clear up, not showing any problems there. But we do have some accidents, and none of them are roadblocks, but you may see emergency crews on scene. Olive and Boyd in Pensacola showing an accident this morning. Independence Avenue, which is near Fairfield and Mobile Highway, just off Massachusetts, there's an accident there and a hit-and-run crash on Hyacinth Drive, just off Blue Angel Parkway. But again, no backups or anything at that point. If you see an accident, 437-1620, Candy with traffic on the fives.
Hey, just a quick question. I want to make sure. It's the I-10 Bayway that's clearing up, not the 98 Causeway,
the Causeway,
right?
Everything's clear.
Everything's
now.
Okay, great, yeah. Great. Okay, thank
you. I don't know. I'm just kidding. No, I think it was I-10, so. But it is clear. And that's, we're going to go to spots?
Sure.
All right.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensure our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
Every piece of jewelry has a story. Some start with a yes. Some start with, this belonged to my grandmother. Some start with, can we turn this into something new? However the story begins, the right jeweler helps it last. With custom design, careful restoration, and engagement rings built to last generations, Beret Jewelers has helped Pensacola keep those stories shining strong. Beret Jewelers, 40 years of coastal shine.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Tuesday at 10 when Jessica Simpson, president of the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce, will be on the show talking about the Blue Angels Air Show and how it's more than just an air show, as guests can enjoy shopping, dining, beach activities, and a full weekend experience while watching the nation's premier aviation events. All Tuesday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening. What's happening? Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
G.I. Joe has hands that grip. Fingers you hold open and let close. Hands that hold on with a kung fu grip.
I'm just trying to make you feel love here, Candy. Name of the song, Love Song, by a band named Damned. So, 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with the headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Hundreds of thousands of Haitians and Syrians in the U.S. under the Temporary Protected Status Program could lose their right to legally work today. This comes after the Supreme Court ruled that the Department of Homeland Security's decision to terminate their status could not be reviewed by the courts. The TPS program allows people to stay and work legally for up to 18 months if their home countries are deemed too dangerous for them to return.
Yeah, I think supporters of this decision would ask you one question. What's that T stand for? Temporary,
right,
protected,
right?
Status, not 20 years of protected status. Right, go on, David.
Absolutely. The former supreme leader of Iran has now been buried in his hometown. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was killed in February by U.S. and Israeli airstrikes. And
have you watched any of the, like, funeral processions? It's hundreds of thousands of people showing up to wail and moan about the loss of a genuinely evil man. It's, I mean, people can love anybody. It's amazing.
Well, under a regime like that, you have to wonder if the attendance possibly could be mandatory.
Well, I mean, they're, like, the performance is too authentic. I mean, they really loved him. They really, you know, I mean, I'm sure some of them are afraid, but some of them are just, they really love the man, which is
local talk
how
in the morning,
brainwashing works.